In days long ago, our father, the most opulent Daksha, who was affectionate to his daughters, asked each of us separately whom he would prefer to select as our husband. It appears from this verse that free selection of a husband was allowed by the father, but not by free association. The daughters were asked separately to submit their selection of a husband who was famous for his acts and personality. The ultimate selection depended on the choice of the father. Om Ajnana Timinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gope Sa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you all for attending. Please bless me, my seniors, my peers, and all devotees who are here to be able to speak something that is of use. And thank you to all who are attending on the internet. So we're continuing on this verse that deals with the pregnancy of Diti. First, we have to understand who Diti was. Diti is the daughter of Prajapati, Daksha. Prajapati means progenitor. So Diti is keen to have a child because her being the daughter of a Prajapati, granddaughter of Sarvabhauma Manu, the first man, and great-granddaughter of Lord Brahma. So she knows her duties. Diti knows her purpose in life, and Diti knows that she has to bring progeny to the world because that's why she has appeared. So her request was quite relevant, and she was justified in what she wanted, although it was at the wrong time and the wrong place, wrong consolation. But she will negotiate with her husband, Kashyap. Here, the small background is that why Diti has to bring Hiranaksha is that because Mother Earth, the Bhumi Devi, was submerged in the ocean of Garbhadak, had to be removed, had to be pulled out, saved by Lord Varaha, the personality of Godhead, who appeared at the Lord Bore. He came to pull out this planet Earth. So for Hiranaksha to be born was very important in allowing Lord Krishna's pastime to manifest. Because in this pastime, Krishna will, as the Lord Bore, he will unite with Bhumi Devi, and that also would make Mother Earth become his wife, Vishnu's wife. So all this has been prearranged by the Lord. Diti also brings another son, Hiranyakashipu, very famous demon who had to be killed by Krishna again in his form as Narsingadev. So we see that this pregnancy being important, we cannot really blame DC completely for what she has been asking. And also in this appearance, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were the doorkeepers of Lord Vishnu, Ajay and Vijay, were cursed to come down as demons three times before they could go back to the Lord. So in the Satya Yuga, they came as Hiranyaksha and Kashyapu. In the Treta Yuga, they came as Ravan and Kumbhakarna, and Lord Ram had to come again and as a person to come and kill them. And in the Kali Yuga, in the Dwarpa Yuga, they came as Sishupal and Dhanvantakar, where Krishna had to come and kill them. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that whenever and wherever there is some irreligion, he appears himself. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, Yada yada hi dharmasya, glani bhavati bharata, adbhudyata adharmasya, sadan jani adharmi aham, parijana sadhunam vinashaya sadhusukham, dharmasam pataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a discrepancy in religion, when there is a rise of religion and there is a decline in religious practices, I appear myself to annihilate the miscreants and to protect my devotees and to establish the principle of religions. I appear millennium after millennium. So in Bhagavad Gita, it's saying that Krishna comes in various forms, in various millennia, to protect our religion. And similarly, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna descends. Now we see that why Diti was wanted her wishes to be fulfilled, because she was affected by the mood of material nature. Everyone who comes in this gets in contact with the material nature. Somehow or other, we become contaminated, we become affected. Here, Diti was captured by the mood of material nature, and she was really helpless. Although her requests and demands was what he needed, but it wasn't befitting the circumstances. In Bhagavad Gita 18:40, Krishna says, there is no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary systems which is freed from the three modes born of material nature. So here Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, even the demigods are not freed from the modes of material nature. So hence, we can understand that deity being affected by the mode of material nature was not something just like she fabricated. She was being used as an object of this material nature. And everything is happening by the Lord's mercy. This intense desire impelled her to push for her needs. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 6, in the purport, Krishna says, chapter 9, verse 6. Yep. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere, rest always in the sky, all beings, created beings, rest in me. And the purport is this: all the wonderful cosmic manifestations are existing by the supreme will of God, and all of them are subordinate to that supreme will. As we generally say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, everything is moving under His will. By His will, everything is created, everything is maintained and annihilated. So we can see that we are all under the influence of material nature. So if we read the Bhagavad Gita thoroughly and understand what Srila Prabhupada has tried to give us, we will know that everything that we do, everything that we get subjected to, it's not just by chance. Sometimes it's something that we can't control. And it's not. It's just that we have to accept it as the Lord's will. But the most important thing is how to deal with it. We accept everything that comes our way, but the attitude in which we manage that problem that comes to us is the important thing. So here, deity, like I said, is not to be blamed while negotiating with Krishna. And of course, Krishna being the cause of all causes. In Brahma Samhita chapter 5, verse 1, Krishna says, Ishvara Brahma Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is the Supreme Person, is the cause of all causes. This verse talks about a little bit about deities, sisters. He says, all us sisters, all his Daksha, who was affectionate to all his daughters, us, each one of us separately. So we can explore a little bit here who the daughters of Daksha were. So it says in the scripture that Daksha had about, give and take, about 60 daughters. A little bit more can be researched about that, but I only have this information. It has about 60 daughters. All the daughters that were given to Kashyap Muni, the 13 daughters, they were not from the same mother. Some of the daughters were from Prasuti, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Manu, and some of them was from Ashkini and from another Prajapati. Out of these daughters, the first daughter was Sati, but like it says in the verse, the daughters were allowed to choose the husband. Then the father would accept that husband. So Sati, she had chosen Shivji. She did lots of austerity and penance. And Daksha agreed to give Sati to Shivji. Another daughter, Swaha, she wanted Agnidev. So she was given to Agnidev. 27 of Daksha's daughters were given to Chandra. These 13 daughters were given to Kashyapa Muni. Some other daughters were given to other personalities. Mostly here we will see that is Kashyapa Muni creating all most of the living entities in this material world from these daughters, from these Daksha's daughters. From deity we see that Kashyapa had Hiranyakashipu. From aditi he has the 12 demigods, Indra, Surya, Varun, Mitra, etc. From Dhanu, there was the Danavas. Among them were the famous Vritasura. And we've read in the Bhagavatam how Vritasura was very fierce demon who Indra couldn't kill, however many weapons he used. Eventually, Lord Indra had to use the bones of Datishi Muni to get Vritasura killed. So that's how powerful Dhanu's son was. Then comes Kadru. Kadru is the mother of the snakes like Shishanag, Vasuki, Tasaka. So they are very powerful snakes. There was also Krodavasa, who was the mother of ferocious animals, birds, fish. Tamara, she had six daughters who were mothers of birds and vultures. Swasa was mother of 1,000 serpents. There were the Nagas, and some of these Nagas are mentioned in the Mahabharata when Arjuna goes down to the lower planets and he associates with these Nagas. The Surabhi was the mother of the 11 Rudras, and she also had another two daughters. The Arishta, who had 13 children, mostly Gandharvas, like Ramba and Menaka. They were the damsel of the heavenly planets, the Gandharvas. There was Kasa, who was another set of ferocious Danavas, which hasn't been mentioned much about them. There was Eva, who is the mother of the woods, the trees, the creepers, the plants, and the herbs. One of his daughters was Muni, who was also mother of some Asparas and some Gandharvas. And one of the main wife of Kashyapa was Vinata. Comes a lot in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vinata was the mother of Aruna and Garuda. And we know Aruna was the charioteer of the sun god, and Garuda were the career of Lord Vishnu. So we can see that Kashyapa, he did have lots of famous children. He did populate the world, and his union with all these wives were important, and these 13 daughters have been quite important to Kashyapa. So there is a saying, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Most of you must have heard about it, or those who haven't heard about it, I'll just give you the translation, what it means. It means that the world is one family, not merely human-related, but includes all life forms, humans, animals, plants, and entire nature. The interconnectedness is not limited to boundaries or borders. It encompasses the whole cosmos. So we can see from this verse like how the world is one family. Plants is also the family, and it all came from Kashyap, from the various daughters. Actually, this logo is used a lot in India, in front of the House of Parliament. It's a big famous logo, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. You often come across this logo, and you would understand that we are family of the whole universe. The cosmos is my family. Having talked about Diti, where she came from and how famous she is, and why she wanted these progenies, why this pregnancy had to happen, I'll talk now about a bit of Kashyap Muni. Kashyap, he was also very important son of Lord Brahma. He was the Manasaputra. Manasaputra means a son born through meditation. When Brahma was meditating, these seven boys appeared, and they were the Saptarishis. These Saptarishis, among them was Atri, Bhrigu, Kratu, Marichi, who was the father of Kashyap. Then there Pulaha, Pulatsya, and Vashishta. So all these personalities, they played a big role in our sampradayas and in our Vaishnavism. Vashishta, as we must have heard, that he was the cool guru of Ayodhya, King Dashrath. Vashishta advised Lord Ram, advised the palace of Ayodhya, and he educated Lord Ram and taught him all the skills that he had to learn. And not only the rishis, but the wives were also very, very powerful people, all these rishis, they had wives. So Rishi Vashishta, his wife, Anusuya, no, Vashishta's wife was Arundhati. Arundhati was the cool guru, the guruma of the royal palace. And Arundhati was a very close associate of Sita Devi. Arundhati, who is the one who taught Sita Devi how to live in the forest, educated her and cultivated her. And Lord Mata Sita was always very close to Arundhati. And when Sita Devi was leaving for the exile, Arundhati gave her a celestial dress because she was to be out there 14 years. She gave some ornaments as well. So these celestial dress and the ornaments lasted Sita Devi for all of her time in exile, because being in the forest, she would have had problem to clothe herself. So this is how powerful even those Saptarishis' wives were. One of the most powerful one was Atri Muni's wife, Anusuya. Some of you may have heard about her. She is called Sati Anusuya because she was given the title Sati due to all her powers and all her austerities, and she was known to be the most chaste among the women. So once it happened that, the little story here, the three wives of the personalities in heaven, like Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, their wives, Saraswati, Lakshmi and Parvati, when they were up in the heavenly planets and they were having the meetings, they were talking about who is the most powerful woman. And of course, Narada came in, and as Narada, his personality was to wind them up. So Narada said, yes, because I know who is the most powerful. They wanted to know who is the most powerful among them, but Narada said, I know who is the most powerful. And the most powerful woman, the most chaste woman, she lived on the earth planet. And I know her. So these three ladies, Saraswati, Lakshmi and Parvati, they were not accepting it. They're saying, we live in heaven, we are the Lord of Brahma, we are the wives of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, these powerful personality. How can someone who lives in the earth planet be more powerful than us? So these three ladies set a challenge. They told their husbands to go and check Anusuya out, check that whether she's really that powerful. We need to know. So having been given this task, Brahma and Vishnu and Mahesh, Shiva, they had to come to the hermitage of Atri Muni. But they came to Atri Muni's hermitage at the time that Atri Muni was away doing his austerities. So of course, Sati Anusuya had to welcome them, wash their feet, and give them all a comfort in those days. Or even now, when someone comes to your place, you have to look after them, feed them. And in those days, that was more important for anyone who had visitors, because if you get cursed by your guest who hasn't been pleased, this is a very bad thing for you. So Anusuya tried to serve them as much as she could. Then the three personalities said, well, these Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh were dressed as Rishi Munis, They said, we will accept your service, but on one condition. We will be served by only if you didn't have any clothes on you. So that was a bit odd. So these men sitting there, so and see how she could be undressed in front of them. So she's a very powerful lady. She was meditating on it. She prepared the food and everything. And during her medication, she had her answer. So when Anusuya came to them, to serve them, and these three personalities said, we have a condition of how you can serve us. So with her mantras, with her water, she said, okay, and she just put some water on them and just did her mantras. And these three personalities turned into three babies. Then Anusuya was able to feed them, and she had won the challenge. But now these are babies. They can't go back. And up in the heavenly planets, these three devis are waiting for the husband to come back, and they're getting anxious. So they call Narad Muni, go and see where our husbands are. When Narad Muni came to the kutir of Anusuya, he was really surprised to see like three babies, and he could see who they were. So he went back to the heavenly planets and told them, look, I know where they are, I know what they're doing, but I cannot get them. It's only you ladies who will have to go and get them. So then the Saraswati, Lakshmi, and Parvati, they realized their mistakes, that this is going to be difficult now. If Narad can't get them, we must have done something wrong. So if Narad is insisting that we go, we'll have to go. So these ladies came down, and when they came, when from far they could see, because they also had visions, divine visions, and they also had lots of shaktis, they could see three children in the courtyard playing with Anusuya. And from their divine vision, they could see which husband was. And they were very bewildered by seeing all this. And then they had to go to Anusuya, and they had to apologize. And say, look, we are really sorry. We doubted your chastity. And now please forgive us. And sorry, we became a little proud, but now we understand that although you are on Earth planet, you are very powerful as well. So please give us our husband back. And Anusuya said, okay, I'll send them back to you. So you can go now. The three ladies left. Anusuya looked after the little babies, fed them very nicely, gave them lots of drinks and belly full, and then she sat them, and then she did the mantra again and put some water on them. They came back as Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh sitting there, their belly were full. They had just eaten, so they just remembered that they forgot about everything about being a child. They just remembered that we are here to eat. We have eaten, now we must go. So they left. So this is a small synopsis of just how powerful these wives were, these devis were. So we can see now how powerful Kardama Muni must have been. Not Kardama Muni, Kashyapa. How powerful Kashyapa must have been. Now, we will see in the verses to come the negotiation between Diti and Kashyapa, and how Kashyapa will have to give in. This will Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Gaur Nitai ki Jai, Shri Prabhupad ki Jai. So who was I? What are my thoughts? Kashyapa himself he was looking after his daughters very nicely, like the verse says. He was very affectionate to his daughters. In those days even, he asked them who they wanted as the husband, and he was looking at all their needs. That's how every father should be doing. Kashyapa was setting an example for the world to follow on how not to allow free association, how to give freedom. We must learn from this. And he didn't want the free association, because as we know that free association will disrupt the society. It will create unwanted progeny. And so Kashyapa's was asserting that his daughters don't get contaminated and they remain chaste, and thus they can have a functional society and the religious principles can be followed. The family tradition will not be destroyed. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, verse 40, when Arjuna says to Krishna, chapter 1, verse 40, Arjuna says to Krishna, why women need to be protected, because Arjuna was not wanting to fight. Like when the men will all die, then the women will be left on their own. So Arjuna was arguing his case that when irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. But in ancient days, there was a system of offering things to the ancestors. Even now, we do. It's a very common thing, like for Pitrupaksh, people offer things to their ancestors, and mostly the boys who do it. So, and the boys do, even when we have cremation and all that, the boys who will carry the banner for the family. So therefore, they need some kind of disciplic succession in any family. But in the practical world, sometimes it's not possible. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada says that simply by performing devotional service, one can deliver hundreds and thousands of forefathers from all kinds of misery. It is stated in the Bhagavatam, Canto 11, chapter 5, verse 41, that anyone who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation, and has taken to the path of, in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligation to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, all forefathers. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we can break it down a little bit here, we can understand that we in this Kali Yuga, how we can do that. And in ISKCON, our Srila Prabhupada has established what's the best ideal way that we can become purified. In the Satya Yuga, it was by meditation only. In Dwarpa Yuga, it was deity service. No, it was Yajna. That's when Lord Treta Yuga, it was the Yajna when Lord Ram came, and there was he had to help for these yajnas to be performed. Through yajna, there were purification. In Dwarpa Yuga, when Krishna came, it was deity service. That's when all the temples were built and even now we do a bit of the we follow the Treta Yuga trend. But in Kali Yuga, the mode to get purified is to do Sankirtan Yajna. That's the one that will purify us and deliver us and help us to get our to attain our goal. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Verse 52, it said that whatever result obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, in Dwarpa Yuga by serving the deities, can be obtained in Kali Yuga by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada states, Srila Goswami has quoted from Brahma Vivarta Puran concerning the degraded condition of people in Kali Yuga. He says, Ataha kalau tapa yuga, vidya vijna nakala kriya, sangha bhavanti nakrita, kusale lapide hivi. Translation. Thus, in the age of Kali, the practices of austerity, yoga, meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and so on, along with the subsidiary functions, are not properly carried out, even by the most expert embodied soul. Therefore, whatever was happening in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, we are not able to carry out properly, it has been stated, because of the mode we have acquired, having come in contact with this material nature. So, because our senses here are imperfect. Therefore, the simplest thing has been given to us, this Sankirtana Yajna, this chanting of the holy name, that's the only thing that can purify it. It says, Cheta Dalpana Marjanam Pava Mahadni Divapanam Shaya Cherva Chandika Vitaram Vidya Vadav Jivanam. This holy name can burn all the fire that is existing within us and can purify us. Why we cannot perform what they were performing long ago? Because we have these four defects when we come to this material world. These four defects are that our senses are imperfect and we cannot do anything about it. We have tendency to cheat. It's going on all the time. However much we try, however much we big devotee we become, that is there. We have inherited that. We are in illusion, always in thinking that something is better somewhere else. And we have a tendency to commit mistakes. However much we try, however hard we try, whatever even service we do, mistakes always happen. So we are contaminated by these modes. Therefore, all we can do is take shelter of the holy name and then we can find our goal. So thank you all. And I've got a few minutes for questions or comments or anything, anybody? What to say? Please, you got 2 minutes. Yes, Mabu. Yes.
In this time. But if we do everything in his name, then there can be no mistakes.
That's what exactly it says. Do the chanting. Do the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Do the chanting, and the chanting will help you from the mistakes. The more you meditate, and then you don't deliberately do the mistake while chanting the name, but you have done mistakes. You chant the name, your consciousness is purified. By the purified consciousness, then that mistake can be erased for you, or you can learn from it. And from learning from that, you won't do more of that mistake. But the key point is here, the consciousness. and the consciousness in which you are doing the mistake. You can't think consciously that I'm going to kill a person and do it, and then you expect to be forgiven for that. But if unconsciously you've like killed an animal or something, of course that you can ask forgiveness for, because you take shelter of the holy name. Shelter of holy name can help you from anything. Is that okay? Yes.
Surrender.
Yes, yes, yes. You surrender. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji. You're saying by chanting in this age, we'll get the results from Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, like meditating on Vishnu and yajnas, and also. What is it? Deity worship.
Deity
yeah.
Worship, yeah.
So what is the result of, you know, meditating on Vishnu or performing yajnas? And
sorry.
What is the result of meditating on Vishnu from those? What would you have gotten that we also get in this age?
But our age in the meditating on Vishnu, that was in Satya Yuga. Yeah? But in this age, like it says, we are not able to do that. We are not geared to do that as human beings in Kali Yuga, being affected by the modes of material nature around us. We are not qualified even to be able to meditate. We don't have the capacity. So therefore, this Harinam is given to us, this chanting is given to us, this name is given to us, this Krishna, and the name is Krishna himself. So that will purify you. Did I get your question right?
So, yeah, purification.
Yes, yeah. Purify you, yes. Okay. Yeah, Mataji, yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I just want to express my appreciation for how you brought to light the exalted nature of these personalities that we're discussing, you know, because especially with pastime, sometimes we're like, yeah, Kashyapa, Aditi, they were lusty, they weren't pure devotees. And almost sometimes, you know, devotees, we can start thinking, yeah, we're better than them because we chant the holy name. And, you know, but these are like very, very powerful personalities that are, you know, like superhuman. I mean, Kashyapa was a muni, and it was interesting how, I mean, I was thinking that Kashyapa must have been something else. If, you know, Daksha asked all of his daughters separately, who would you like to marry? And 13 of them were like, Kashyapa, Kashyapa, Kashyapa. So he was a very exalted person. And these women who chose him as their husband, they were also exceptional, more powerful even than the wives of demigods and even Lakshmi Devi herself. So then it's very clear, as you said, that this apparent lustful interaction which led to the conception of two demons was all, you know, the Lord's transcendental leela, yeah, and a divine pastime. And I had a question at that point, because sometimes, you know, devotees do things that are just like, what? You know, sometimes devotees say things or do things that's kind of out of character, and it seems like a bad thing, you know, it seems like a mistake, but it leads to some event, you know, it kind of catalyzes or precipitates some consequences that are kind of good for everyone in the long term. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I wonder if, you know, we may, of course we can't use this as an excuse for doing mistakes, but, you know, like the same thing happened to Parikshit Maharaj. He threw the snake on Shamika Rishi, and totally out of character, but that led to the, you know, the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam for the benefit of all humanity for all time to come. Yeah. So just wondering if sometimes we might also, the Lord might also use us and induce us to make mistakes or act out of character in ways that precipitate some beneficial consequences.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. We get used as an instrument to whatever karma we do, whatever action we do. we are being used as an instrument for Krishna to either teach us or teach someone else or to enable some pastimes. And so many bad things sometimes happen in our lives and we say why this happened. And a couple years down the line, we say, oh, that was the best thing that happened. Mm. Today we're crying for it. Oh, she left me. Then in 2 years' time, they say, good riddance. Isn't it? Like that. Yeah. So this is what happens. Okay. Thank you, Mataji, for your contribution. Yes, Mata.
How can we understand that Lakshmi Devi, who is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani, right, the Shakti Tattva, how is it that she seems to be inferior in quality to a Jiva Tattva?
Lakshmi Devi is not inferior to a Jiva Tattva.
It seemed that way when
in the past time, she couldn't understand. There was some illusion there. There was something that prevented her. There was some pride went in her. Even like they said, the demigods, or even the pride is used in them to be able to show that there are like so Anusuya, because she was so gifted. So she had a place similar like to them, but she was not them. She was not with them. She was on the earth planet, but she was as good as them. Like you say, you're not God, but you're as good as God. So she was not the three devis, but she was as good as them. And she couldn't take the place of anyone in the heavenly planet there. So everyone is in the place they are situated. The place they are situated is the right place for them. So Lakshmi Devi was not inferior, and even Anusuya in her own rights, she was not inferior to anyone. Does that answer your question? Or is there anything you want to add, Mataji? Why? Anusuya? No, she wasn't. So like about Jiva Tattva and Vishnu Tattva, Lakshmi Devi is not a Jiva Tattva, from what I understand. Is it, Mataji? Lakshmi Devi is not a Jiva Tattva? She's Shakti. Yeah. Okay. Yes? Yes, to glorify, a pastime to glorify these rishis and their wives and to make things a bit more interesting for us as well. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, by the way, just to inform our Hare Krishna, Tarun Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for Tarun Prabhu for helping me out and giving me some encouragement about my class. Thank you. Just to inform you that today, like, is a very sad day for some of our devotees in the community. Very nice devotees, Lalita Sakhi Mataji, whom we all know, and Shamsundar Prabhu, who lost their son-in-law. Today is the cremation. Jason's 38-year-old died suddenly of a heart attack. He was married to Naraini, the first child of Lalita Sakhi and Shamsundar Prabhu. Only last year, they did the seven paras in their way. So today, we remember them in our prayers. And we pray that Krishna guides them. Lalita Sakhi has been very instrumental devotee in our community, and also Shamsundar Prabhu, he was in charge of the Goshala, and today they say farewell to the one-year-old married son-in-law. Thank you all. Okay. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.